Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for September 19th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our two of two, and our goal, clear as a bell, steady as a rock, that is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. The checks and balances put in place by our founders, absolutely brilliant. That, along with the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, the blueprint for liberty, is indeed the answer to restore the republic. That's why we don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, no doubt, needs to be the case. Welcome to the broadcast. Our esteemed guest today, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Clovis. He's a campaign co-chairman and chief policy advisor for Donald Trump. Mr. Clovis, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Now, you've got 50 days till Donald Trump defeats Hillary Clinton and becomes president of the United States, huh?
Well, we got 50 days till the election. It'll take a little longer than that to get through the process of counting the electoral college votes, which I think are going to be pretty substantial for us. And then on the 20th of January, we'll be there to watch Mr. Trump take the oath of office, which he will support and he will defend, and then we'll get on with governing this country and turning the government back over to the people.
No doubt about it. Now, let me ask you this. You're one of the chief policy advisors. What are you guys telling Donald Trump is the most important things to focus on in the final stretch?
Well, I think the big thing is to give people a reason to vote for our campaign as opposed to voting just typically against Hillary Clinton, even though there's plenty to vote against. I think people always need a choice, and the choice ought to be a positive choice, an affirmative choice to vote for someone. And if you take a look at the policies that we're offering, and then tax reform, trade reform, immigration reform, reforming the VA, restoring the capitalization of the military to strengthen it, to expand it, to control the budget, to get rid of our deficits, therefore we can start buying down the debt, to bring trillions of dollars and millions of jobs back from overseas. All of these provide prosperity and security for the United States, and none of these are being offered by Hillary Clinton. So I think we have a much more positive message and an affirmative message, and people ought to be voting for Donald Trump. And I think that they just see an empty vessel in Hillary Clinton. And what's worse is the fact that you had the President of the United States standing up over the weekend when we've had no less than at least four terrorist attacks over the weekend. It's crickets from the White House on terror, and it's all about extending his personal legacy, and it's about him.
I mean, he even had the audacity to make a joke about, Sam, he even had the audacity to make jokes about birther stuff while this was going down.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. And so if you want a clear choice, it's right there.
One of the biggest policy focuses that I think we ought to do is I floated this idea the other day, and I'm just going to run it by you really quick. I said, you know what Donald ought to do? Because everybody's running around saying, we appreciate your ideas, Donald, but how are you going to pay for them? And they kind of try to mock Donald Trump. The way you pay for them is you reduce the size and scope and expenditures of government accordingly. Then you put tariffs at the borders and raise plenty of money that's not being raised now. But Donald could simply lead by saying, look, I don't even need your money, folks. I'm going to leave the money that would have been my salary in the Treasury, and then I'm going to expect other government officials to start doing the same. We'll ratchet down all expenditures everywhere, and I'm leading by example. What do you think about that? Just Donald saying, I'm not going to take a salary. $400,000 per year means nothing to Donald, and he could lead by example and absolutely change the game with a press release.
Well, I think a lot of it, you know, I think that's a great idea, and I think that Mr. Trump will consider that. I do think that one of the issues that we've run into, and we've been doing a lot of investigating, I'll just give you a little bit of inside baseball. We have been spending a tremendous amount of time working on the workings of government, looking at how government is structured, some of the aspects of it, why it costs so much to have this government, and the amount of waste that exists in government compared to how we would run a business is unbelievable. We've found probably a 30% premium that we're paying for our acquisition system, and imagine the fact that we have dozens of programs and multiple departments to hide money so Congress can continue to feed special interest, and we're ferreting all these out, and I think that the president, the next president of the United States, Donald Trump, will go in and we will be able to contain ourselves. We'll actually be able to provide more services and better government, and actually bring our budget into balance much more quickly than people think. And I think that's really where that's the message that needs to be sent, that we're going to be fiscally responsible and we're going to get the government back inside the Constitution, which is it's been sorely missed for about 70 years.
Amen to that. Now, they mocked Donald for wanting to build a wall on the northern border of Mexico, and they mock him relentlessly about this. But do you realize that Barack Obama is funding a southern wall on the border of Mexico right now?
Well, of course he is. And the other part of it is that we're subsidizing the immigration laws of Mexico, and yet we won't do anything to enforce the immigration laws of the United States. I mean, this goes to the lawlessness of this president. I mean, if the legacy of this president is to really be examined, we have to take a look at whether or not he supported his oath of office, and it's clear he has not. But perhaps I think the phrase in the oath of office, to the best of his ability, maybe that's the issue. Maybe he just never had the ability to support and defend the Constitution.
Well, no one ever vetted Barack Obama in the first place. They've vetted Donald 50 times, but they've ever vetted Barack when he was senator and president.
Well, you know, Mr. Trump has been Page Six News in New York for 40 years. I mean, there's probably not much we don't know about Mr. Trump, and I think that there's probably still a lot of things we don't know about Hillary Clinton. And those are the two people running, and I think that any time we invoke Barack Obama's name in this, we're just giving him, press that he really doesn't deserve. And I think that we really ought to focus on the two candidates that we have, and I think that the two candidates provide the American people a very clear choice.
The only reason we should mention Barack Obama's name is to mention the fact that Hillary wants to basically continue with the same ideas, same policies, and ratchet them up even further, right?
Good point, Sam. I'll give you that one. So, yeah.
Other than that, you're correct. Let's talk a little bit about what more Mr. Trump will do, because I think that's critical to understand. Number one, he puts together a very appropriate family. Hillary can't come close to that. The reason that I mention this is because America's about families, right?
Well, it should be about families. If you think about what the great strengths of America are, and I in my writings, and I have identified four, individual liberty is certainly the first of those, but the second is the traditional nuclear family. And I think if you take a look at the family and the accomplishment of his children and how good and decent the people they are, we work with them all the time. They're totally unpresumptive. You would never guess that they were worth hundreds of millions of dollars on their own. They are wonderful, warm, considerate, and empathetic people. They're just wonderful. And he is a doting father and a doting grandfather and a great husband. Melania is a remarkable woman on her own. The children stand on their own, and yet at the same time, they're part of a tremendous family unit. And that's the Christmas card you want to get from the White House is the Trump family.
Now, it's kind of fascinating. Kimmel made a very off-color joke about Donald's wife. These people are desperate, aren't they, Mr. Clovis?
They are indeed. And I think it's really sad. If you take a look at when, we're talking about the issues associated with Hillary's stances on anything, and then the mainstream media will attempt to attack in any way they can, and they will chip away at the things that they think are important. But what they're missing and have been missing the entire time that Donald Trump has been running for president is that this is a movement. Donald Trump is simply a manifestation of a movement that is taking place in this country. He right now provides that leadership. And he'll be a tremendous president. And I think most of the establishment, most of the ruling class in this country, and that includes the media, I think they're worried that he's going to be a good president. And I think that they want to do everything they can to bring him down because they know that Donald Trump will absolutely dismantle the power base of what goes on inside Washington, D.C. and inside the network headquarters in New York. And I think they know that. And I think this is why they're so desperate.
It's almost a globalist versus America first discussion, isn't it?
It is, and I think it's interesting you bring that up because that's a great, great point. I think that the one thing that I just gave a speech this weekend at Eagle Forum, the late Phyllis Schlafly's wonderful organization down in St. Louis, and I brought up this very issue this notion that what we have here is we need not apologize for the fact that we want to have America first. We understand our place in the world. We're the global leaders. We know that. We understand that, and we accept that responsibility. But at the same time, we're not going to do that in declining ourselves or diminishing ourselves in the face of what goes on in the world.
Hold on, Mr. Clovis. I have a hard break. Stay right there, sir. Sure. Sam Clovis, ladies and gentlemen, Trump advisor, co-chair. We'll talk about it in seconds on your radio.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Sam Clovis riding shotgun on the broadcast today. He happens to be a Trump campaign co-chairman and chief policy advisor. We're talking about the debate really is globalism versus America first. When you get on a plane, you know, you put on your mask first, not because you don't care about your kids, but because that's what it takes to really save both of you. That's the way it is around the world, too, isn't it, sir?
Should be, and I think it's a great point. I think that what we're really asking is for everybody to do their part, and I think that's an acceptable position. I think it is, frankly, it's the position that America should always have. We're happy to be the leaders. We're happy to be up front. We're happy to do that, but we want everybody else pulling on the rope, too. And so if you're going to be in an alliance, you want people who can meet their commitments inside that alliance. If you're going to defend portions of the world geographically, then you want support in helping do that. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. The fact that the United States would lift the burden and hoist this burden for everybody in the world, that's fine. But the situations are different today. Our economy is on its butt, and we need to get the economy up and running because, frankly, if we don't get this economy generating growth at an acceptable rate, and I would say above 3.5% or 4% would be acceptable, then we're really not going to be able to do anything else because we're not going to have the resources necessary to do it. And I think that's the cold truth that people need to hear.
Same thing with our national defense. You know, on one hand, you know what? We don't need to run around the world and be the world's cops, but we do need to make a strong America, and we do need to protect our borders. This is beyond debate.
Well, I think the you know, one of the questions that I oftentimes receive is, you know, what about the a path to citizenship and for people who are entered the country or stay illegally or stayed here overstayed their visa? And it says, how in the world in a nation that is a nation of laws, a nation that is founded and based on the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States, how in the world can people ask their government to go out here and reward criminal behavior with the most sacred thing we have in this country, and that's citizenship? I mean, how can we do that? I mean, how can we, in clear conscience and with any sense of morality, do that? It would be immoral for us to bestow the most sacred issue in America, the right of citizenship, on people who broke the law to get here. We could never do that, and it's unconscionable that people would even ask.
Well, and then when we try to defend that moral imperative, then they run around and say, you're just a racist, you hate Mexicans, or you this, or you that. These people are nuts, sir.
They are, and it's not racism. Because the question you have to ask them is, say, okay, so is it racist to want to defend your nation? Is it racist when the fact that you are asking your government to commit an immoral act? I mean, and it doesn't matter. You can take this on philosophical level up to the fourth power and talk about John Rawls and the Kantian imperatives and all these other things philosophically, and nobody wants to go there because very few people even understand that. Or you can talk about your basic issues that are associated with following the law of the land. And if you follow the law of the land, people who come here illegally are trespassing. And in fact, they're imposing themselves and stealing from the American people because of their very presence in this country. They're stealing from this country. And that alone ought to be reason enough for us to enforce the laws. And all we're saying in the Trump campaign is all it's ever said is to enforce the laws of the land.
Now, when Donald Trump went to Mexico, he made a very, in my opinion, telling point that's really valuable, and we need to revisit it, Mr. Clovis. He said this: we want to help make Mexico great again so they can stay in their country and make their country great again. It's not that we dislike them. It's that we want to have prosperity, and we know the formula, and we can teach it to others. Isn't that the point?
Exactly, and I think that this is the issue that you should see in all other parts of the world. I mean, we have this notion of bringing in refugees, and Hillary Clinton wants to bring in 500,000 refugees into this country, and you sit and ask yourself, so given the fact that we already have naturalized citizens from other countries that are here that are committing acts of terror, and you have to ask yourself, this is, how sane is this? Do we not have a better process? Do we not have a better vetting process? And why are we doing this? What is the point of doing this? Not for humanitarian reasons. The Democrats and the progressives are far too cynical for that. This is about power. This is about generating more voters. This is about putting people on a path to citizenship by granting them refugee status, as opposed to being here as visitors of one form or another. So all of these things play into the fact that it's about power. It's not about what's best for this country. It's about what's best for the Democrat Party. And I think that's the most cynical and frankly obscene aspect of any of these policies that they have, is that it's purely about maintaining control of the Congress and the presidency of the United States at the cost of the American people.
To prove their desperation, I don't know if you know, but I interviewed Donald Trump Jr. on Super Tuesday. Incredible interview, by the way. And they're running around now. I'm a totally blind person, Sam, just so you know. I own Liberty Roundtable Live, this radio talk show, and Liberty News Radio, a nationally syndicated network of talk shows. And they ran around now and are calling me a racist.
Well, it you would expect that, because if you speak the truth, then oftentimes you're going to be branded a racist. And the whole issue is comes back to the fact that people want the plain truth, and they're tired of political correctness. You cannot have identity politics without political correctness. And if you take political correctness out of the equation, then you cannot enforce identity politics, and which is what the progressives and the Democrats want to do, is they want to create these divisions. They want to have identity politics, because through identity politics, they can create victims. And with victims, then they can identify villains. And with villains, then they can create this vindictiveness to go out here and fix and right all these wrongs, because these wrongs that are absolutely don't exist in many cases are perpetuated by this myth that we get from the progressives. Because without it, the Alinsky lies, and that's what they are, that's what I call them, the Alinsky lies, are all right there for the American people to understand. And that's really part of our job, is to educate people on what's going on in this country. And they're being lied to, and unfortunately, they're being lied to by both parties.
Just for the record, ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe in the supremacy of any race. I believe we're all God's children. I believe we're different. I believe that we should love one another and be kind, and we're all children of God, and we ought to treat all people as such.
Well, you know, what do we say? I mean, what does our Constitution say? What did the Declaration of Independence say?
All men are created equal.
You know, the whole issue is, and justice wears, and the Lady Justice wears a blindfold, because that's the whole issue, is that we are all equal before the law.
Yeah, me and old Lady Justice see it the same way, don't we? Hey, Sam, is there any other tidbits? We're about up against a break again. Is there any other tidbits you want to tell everyone?
Well, I just want to tell everybody to pay attention to what's going on here. Let's go out here and do your part. And always I tell people, there's always one more thing to do, no matter what you think you've done. It's not ever enough. Always go out there and think about that one more thing to get out the vote. Put a sign in your yard, write a check, get people to vote, get them to register. And let's get this thing done, because it's too important to leave to other people to do. Every person has to accept their responsibility as a citizen. Let's get out there and vote, and let's vote for Donald J. Trump for president.
Last question for you. How do you think we can get rid of a lot of the sideshows the media tries to create? Any ideas?
Well, I just think that, first off, you laugh at them for one thing, and the other part of it is that if you don't like what you see, don't watch it. So you have the power, and that's really the power of choice. And that's the most powerful word in the English language, if you think about it, is choice.
So maybe for the debate, we could have them define who would be in the basket of deplorables. You know, Donald Trump would say terrorists and people who break the law, and Hillary would say patriots and American citizens and businessmen and private sector. It'd be an interesting discussion to see how each one would define deplorables, huh?
It would be indeed. It would be indeed.
Thanks, Sam Clovis, thank you for your time, sir. Godspeed.
You too.
There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite talk station.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Earlier this year, five people were arrested during a police raid on a medical marijuana dispensary in Costa Mesa, California, which has a city ordinance banning such facilities. With guns drawn, the police, who did not have a search or arrest warrant, invaded the dispensary and confiscated a digital video camera. However, they did not notice four hidden cameras that captured their rampage, in which they seized merchandise and detained employees and customers for questioning. The video shows the officers making a forcible entry while claiming that they had a search warrant, but none was on record in the Orange County court system. Five people were arrested on felony charges. Police Chief Rob Sharpnack refuses to release details of the incident, invoking an ongoing criminal investigation. A lawsuit has been filed in state court on behalf of the victims of the illegal search and seizure operation. Lawyers representing the police department have filed a motion to move the lawsuit to federal court. Attorney Matthew Pappas describes this as a strategic move intended to protect the local police department from being accountable under state and local laws. Costa Mesa's effort to move the case to federal court is meant to prevent any recovery for their illegal actions because marijuana is prohibited under federal law, Pappas told the Orange County Register. However, the lawsuit is filed based on state law in an area that should be decided by state courts.
If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Our guest last half hour, if you missed it, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Clovis, Trump campaign co-chairman and chief policy advisor. We talked about families, the economy, America first, securing the border, false claims of racism, and more. Sam blows the bogus, lamestream press racism claim out of the water. Wow. All right, just 5.7% of the Clinton Foundation budget went to charitable grants, Kurt. Can you believe this? 5.7%, 94%+ goes to some, what, internal Clinton agenda, Kurt?
Probably got a little overhead, you know, to deal with. I mean, you know, you've got your
bimbo eruptions and such.
Toilet paper and, you know.
I'm with you. Don't squeeze the Charmin,
oh,
huh?
Man. Oh, boy.
94%+. This is amazing.
Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah, it is truly amazing to see where we are, you know, and bottom line is, you know, the Clintons have never really been, at least in my opinion, very charitable. You know, that whole Clinton Foundation is just basically, in my opinion, just a cash cow for them. That's what I think.
Yeah. Wow. All right, there you have that. I just found that interesting. Now, Gary Johnson, Kurt, third-party candidate on the Libertarian Party, Green Party, Jill Stein, they failed to make cut for the first debate, says the New York Times. What do you think of this, Kurt? You want to talk about this a minute?
Well, let me ask you this question. Are you surprised, Sam?
No. They do it on purpose. And the interesting thing is they know full well if Jill Stein and Gary Johnson or other constitutional candidates, I'm not suggesting Jill and Gary are constitutional. I'm just saying or other constitutional candidates. For example,
well, yeah,
on the
ones on the ballots. I mean, imagine including the people that were on the ballot.
What if they said it doesn't matter what percent you have. If you're on the ballot, you're in.
I mean, it's just you got to remember when it comes to these whole debates, when you look at it, you'll find out that they're basically owned by the Republican and Democratic parties. So they're certainly not going to. It's like Walmart saying, hey, man, we own this whole town, but we're going to go ahead and let our competition in. I mean, they're just not going to do it, Sam. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, good point.
Right?
Yeah. But the thing is, what the problem is, the reason they don't have the percentages is because they've never got any coverage. People don't even know about them. I bring up Darrell Castle and Scott Bradley on the Constitution Party ticket literally all the time, and everybody says, who? What? They don't even know who they are. How can you expect them to garner any support? And then they say, well, it's because you don't have any support that you're not in the debates. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if we want to just spiral down to the chicken and the egg discussion, but wow, that's kind of the problem, right? Why don't you let them be in the debates and talk about some critical things, and then you watch how those poll numbers change, and then you'll find out the truth. See, that's kind of the problem that I have with this, is they create the dilemma, then they blame it on the dilemma as the reason why. It's amazing.
And a big part of it goes to what you've always taught us, Sam, about he who owns the media makes the rules. And when we see billions of dollars of basically free advertising going to, you know, the standard two candidates, you know, I mean, how in the world can anyone, even the billion-dollar candidates, can't compete with, you know, free media that goes into $4 and $5 billion worth of advertising?
Great point. That's why he who owns the media makes the rules. But we're taking center stage. They're struggling to keep up, ladies and gentlemen. And you watch them continue to spiral down into yesteryear because they can't fund their operations, etc. And you watch the new media taking center stage. It's happening day by day, and you can see it. They don't know what to do with us, though, so they're absolutely desperate. They're running around calling us racists and everything else. Speaking of that, by the way, Donald Trump mocked the media the other day, Kurt. I don't know if you saw the details of it, but he had all the media basically talking about his. They spent over an hour, and he brought him in, and he talked about his hotel, and he talked about the military, and he really promoted his campaign for free for like an hour. And they were waiting on bated breath to see what he was going to say about the birther issue, because, you know, Donald you know, has talked about that over the years. And anyway, when he got done, right at the end of his big old long promo over an hour, Kurt, then at the end he goes, by the way, Barack was born in the United States, and then he left the stage. I'm talking classic play.
He knows how to work them.
Of the mainstream press. They're livid, Kurt. They're absolutely livid. But here's what I find fascinating. Yeah. Why are they livid? They've been trying to get him to say that forever. Now he says it, that's and they're right. mad. These people are just too much. They're mad because he played them. They're mad because he spent an hour promoting everything that he wanted to promote, and then at the end he gave them what they wanted. Hey, Barack was born in America. Now, Barack may have been born in America. I don't even know. But here's what I do know. The birth certificate's a fraud. Okay? Joe Arpaio and crew have worked that out and proven it a fraud. Let's go ahead and make that the core issue. Fine, Barack was born in America. Then why is he peddling a fake birth certificate then? Fine, mainstream press, Barack was born in America. You want us to say it? Okay. Trump even said, Barack was born in the U.S. Fine. What about the fraudulent birth certificate that Barack released? See, that's what Donald needs to follow up with next, and then he needs to put Joe Arpaio and crew on the national stage so we can bust out and discuss this thing. But see,
that's
again,
exactly right.
Some of these are side issues, though, Kurt.
Yeah, and of course, that's what the media wants to have you go down. I mean, when you see that movie, Dave, you know, the one we talked about before, you know, the impersonator of the president, the Dave guy, has some great. Basically, some great ideas. Now, you know, they're not constitutional, in my opinion, and that kind of thing. But he's wanting to do all these good things. But the media fixes on basically the misdeeds and the basically criminal activities of the guy he's faking to be. You know what I mean? And so every event he goes to, rather than him being able to talk about, hey, this needs to be done, or this needs to be done, or whatever. They just focus straight on that one thing, just
like they did on this whole birther thing. Should never even get a breath, Kurt.
Well, that's right. That's right. But then once again, it's he who owns the media makes the rules. The media can do it. You know, they can nail her to the wall. They can just go whitewater, whitewater, whitewater all the time, or you know, whatever. I mean, how sick are you, or whatever, asking those simple questions all the time, or they can go, hey, you know, how you been? And, you know, how's the campaign going? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got softballs or you got hardballs. And it's just what what they could choose to do.
Yeah, so the mainstream press, though, felt like in the end, Trump just snookered him. Spent a whole hour, a wall-to-wall coverage, man. And right at the end, he's like, all right, Barack was born in America. So what next? And he just left. And everybody just freaked. Well, they were livid.
And in the movie, Dave, finally the guy works with real president's wife, who is on to the whole deal, and basically sets up a way that he can appear to die and move the whole thing on so that then the vice president, who's a good guy, can take office, then he can go back to being,
Dave,
an impersonator. So it just, at least to me, you can learn some good stuff from Hollywood.
Rachel Maddow went off psychotic again, Kurt.
Well, that's no big surprise.
I know it. She went off last week, and she said that James Edwards interviewed Donald Trump Jr. on the Political Cesspool radio program, Kurt.
Whoops.
And then she literally said, they're a bunch of white supremacists, meaning James and me and you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, how do you like being called a white supremacist, Kurt?
Well, it's nice to have somebody like Rachel that does her investigative information, does her homework real good.
Hey, Kurt, what do you think I did about it?
I suppose you might
do. I cowered in my corner?
No, I bet you might have sent her a letter or something.
Yeah, I emailed Rachel.
Yeah.
I said, hi, Rachel and crew. My name is Sam Bushman, owner of Liberty News Radio Network. And I syndicate, or we, meaning Liberty News Radio syndicates, both shows, my show, Liberty Roundtable, and the Political Cesspool with James Edwards. You incorrectly reported on your show last week that Donald Trump Jr. appeared on the Political Cesspool radio program. The facts are that Donald Trump did appear on my show, Liberty Roundtable Live, on Super Tuesday. See the open letter I wrote to Donald Trump below about this very issue. I kindly request that you correct the record regarding this critical matter. I also would like to invite Rachel on air with me to discuss the alt-right and any other issues she would like to chat about. I look forward to working with you. Thanks so much. Sam Bushman, Liberty News Radio, and I give my phone number. Yeah, and then I paste the
no open letter. No return call?
Not yet. Open letter to Donald Trump is right below that, ladies and gentlemen. Quick pause, Sam and Kurt, on your radio.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
My sister was smoking, and I watched her. She asked me if I wanted some, and I said sure, and she taught me how to smoke, and that was my first experience.
Every day, an estimated 3,000 teens start smoking.
Both my parents smoke. I mean, seeing them smoke, watching them, thinking, well, I do it, it's not going to hurt me.
Smoking sends mixed messages to your children.
They just recently found out. I just told my mom, so she was shocked, very shocked.
I think parents have a big influence on whether or not their children smoke, because even if the parent says that they don't agree with it, it really doesn't hold a lot of water. I mean, you can say, I don't agree with you smoking, but when you light up 5 minutes later, it doesn't hold a lot of water.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kirk Crosby's holding his breath, waiting for Rachel Maddow to get back to me.
Right.
And he's turning blue at this very moment. And, you know, just wanted everybody to kind of understand what's going on behind the scenes in the radio broadcast booth, you know?
Right.
Anyway, it's interesting, though. So I emailed Rachel because she got it wrong. You know, she's running around and acting like James Edwards had Donald Trump Jr. on his show. And I'm not here to be negative in any way about James Edwards. I'm just saying that is not the facts. And if anybody wants to research that, they'll go look and they won't find Donald Trump Jr. on the political cesspool because it didn't happen, Kurt. And one of the things that we need to do is if they're going to start calling me a racist, then when they get all the facts of the story wrong, it's important to disprove that they're factually incorrect.
Right.
Okay, now, James was involved in that interview. I'll grant that. So, Rachel, why don't we discuss it appropriately? You don't even know me, and you're running around calling me a white supremacist. It's crazy. Anyway, I find that interesting. Now, Donald said another very explosive thing, Kurt. But it's something that you and I have been saying literally for...
Oh, yeah?
For years.
What did he say?
Well, Trump says Clinton's Secret Service details should disarm, and we'll see what happens to Hillary.
Well, these are the same... The reason he's saying this, Sam, is the reason these people keep saying that this whole Second Amendment thing isn't important, and the right to keep and bear arms. Hey, you know, we just got to get rid of guns and then everything will be safe. And he's trying to point out the fact that, hey, these people talk out of one side of their mouth and they do something else out of the other.
Yeah, now what's fascinating is they say he sparked controversy Friday evening. Why would he spark controversy, Kurt, with a statement like this?
I think they spark controversy when they say we got to get rid of guns and the right to keep and bear arms.
That, well, while they, it's one thing for them to say get rid of your guns if they were actually doing it, Kurt.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know? Now, Donald Trump also said Hillary started the birther controversy back in 2008, and I finished it.
Well, there you go.
Now, the interesting thing about this, though, is you know who started the birther issue, Kurt? Do you know who
I
did
saw
that?
Something. At least some of the articles I've read said a surrogate, you know, somebody in Hillary's campaign. But, you know, I've seen something that talked about it before that.
You know, I'm going to tell you who did it, Kurt?
Who?
Barack.
Well, yeah.
Because, see, right. Barack, when he worked on his first book deal,
said
that he was
right.
born in Kenya,
right.
my friend.
That's right.
So if anybody gets the blame for starting the birther discussion, it was Barack Hussein himself.
Yeah, good point. Wonder how he's going to respond to that.
He's not, Kurt. He's just going to ignore you. And then if you speak up, he's just going to say you're a racist.
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you could come back with a joke that might say something like, I'm not a racist at all. Now, I guess people are sending a bunch of clothes to places like Kenya and stuff, Kurt. Like, you know, hand-me-down clothes and everything.
Yeah.
And now they're sick of it. And they want you to quit sending them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're upset about the nice.
Well, it ruins the clothing industry, Kurt.
Oh, I get you. Yeah, we wouldn't want to do that. You know, he certainly wouldn't want to upset the clothing industry. So why is that ruining the... Oh, I guess you're supposed to just get rid of the clothes.
I don't know you're what you're supposed to do.
Oh, okay. You're probably supposed to burn them.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Now, you know who the Green Party candidate is, don't you, Kurt?
That's the Stein lady?
Yeah, Jill Stein.
Yeah.
Green Party candidate, Jill Stein, FBI whistleblower, demand new 9/11 investigation.
Yeah.
So now she's talking about 9/11, that maybe we don't have the true story on it, Kurt.
Imagine that.
She's calling for a new investigation.
Yeah. I mean, we certainly, what she should say is, hey, you know, if the government says it's so, it's true. I mean, they never lied to us. I mean, you know.
Well, she announced the secrecy and lies, endless war, torture, and surveillance state that have become the new norm since 9/11, and she says that's kind of a problem, Kurt. So I call for a new investigation, claims Jill Stein. FBI Special Agent Colleen Rowley, who blew the whistle on the FBI's failure to act on information. Anyway, they're all calling for an investigation. Right? It's amazing.
Wow. That's another reason she won't be on the stage, Sam.
Good point. Because what if she brought that up in the debates? Then people might actually think about it and then wonder and then ask the same questions, Kurt.
Yeah. They start looking behind the skirts, you know, kind of going, hey, what's here? It's the Wizard of Oz. Look, you know.
You know, Scott Bradley or Daryl Cashler, some of those guys around the stage, they might even bring up the John Kerry Foundation scandal, Kurt.
Good point.
You got details on that one?
Well, that's right. Looks like the Mr. Kerry, you know, is one of my favorite guys. You know, the Daily Caller reported, and this is a LibertyNewsDaily.com piece, by the way. But the Daily Caller said that they cited documents that they obtained through Freedom of Information Act request that report that more than $9 million of the Department of State money has been funneled through the Peace Corps to a nonprofit foundation started and run by Secretary of State John Kerry's daughter. I'm sure that really is just a coincidence, Sam. Her name is, by the way, Dr. Vanessa Kerry. The contracts were awarded through the Global Health Service Partnership. I mean, you know, you couldn't do without that, of course, which, by the way, sends health care volunteers to medical and nursing schools in several African countries. Seed Global Health received $2 million, three-year contract with the State Department in 2012. See, now, you wonder what the State Department's really doing. This just shows you a little bit of what they do with your money. Dr. Kerry's father, John Kerry, was the chairman of the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. See, it's not the who you know, Sam. I mean, it's certainly just a coincidence in this case that they got that money. But anyway, they say memos obtained by the Daily Caller document that Kerry and government officials colluded to launch the program and ensure that Seed would get the contract. Man, that almost sounds like criminal activity, doesn't it, Sam? Anyway, they say the arrangement to transfer funds was effectively buried in a voluminous congressional notification. And I'll tell you what, Congress and voluminous, those are two words that kind of synonym, you know, they go together there. In 2014, Kerry's daughter began drawing $140,000 a year salary for a 30-hour work week from Seed Global Health. Well, I mean, you got to take care of your family, Sam. I mean, there's...
So John Kerry scandal going on. But again, what's the difference that, you know...
We don't want to talk about that. You know what I mean? There's...
Now, there's a claim by a Democratic senator, Kurt, that says Hillary...
Yeah.
Could barely climb podium steps months ago. It all came out in Colin Powell's hacked email. He admits the emails are authentic already. So that's interesting. Now CNN jumps in bed with this manipulation of Hillary's health to try to make America believe that she's healthy. CNN edits and cuts worst part of the 9/11 video where Hillary stumbles and gets drugged into the van, etc. They literally edited out the worst part, Kurt, so you just can't see it.
Well, it's
Anderson Cooper at the helm, huh, Kurt?
properly edit things, you know. Yeah, yeah, good point.
I just find that fascinating. Wow. The CNN just cuts that out. And then you had the mainstream press cutting out. You know, when Donald does very well with the black church, and they're just Google manipulating results. The mainstream press absolutely just beside themselves, because no matter what they seem to do, the Donald just continues to gain ground, Kurt.
That's amazing, isn't it?
No matter what they do, he's gaining ground.
Yeah, they don't really like this, huh?
The real question is, what will they do next, Kurt?
Wow. You know, it's hard to say if I would put anything past them. You know, I mean, I wouldn't really be surprised with almost anything they do, would you?
No, certainly not. What they're doing now, though, is, for example, they're trying to shut down Joe Arpaio. And I guess Tough Phoenix Sheriff may have a new foe, Kurt.
Well, yeah, guess who it is, Sam? It's old George Soros. You know, I mean, imagine George Soros. I mean, he really doesn't really like to be in politics because he's a businessman, don't you know?
He loves to be behind the scenes, you know.
But the bottom line is, if you ever watch the movie Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, man, when you see that one guy in there, old Joe, back behind the scenes, you know, for me, George Soros fits that guy really well. Because, you know, when you got all that money, you just call up your pals and say,
shut it down.
You know, I need you to take care of this today. You know what I mean?
It's
pretty incredible, isn't it?
But literally, though, Joe Arpaio running for sheriff in Phoenix, Arizona, Maricopa County, is in the fight of his lifetime because of George Soros funding the opposition.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm predicting Joe's going to win anyway.
I think he will, too, because George Soros has power, but he doesn't have ultimate power. And, you know, speaking of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, that guy didn't win either, Kurt. Just saying.
Good point.
All right, thanks for being alongside with the ride. Both hours in the can. Time flies when you're having fun. The websites to support financially and otherwise, please, LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com, and LibertyNewsDaily.com. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and indeed will restore our grand old republic. This nation shall endure.